So our ultimate destination is Madhurya Prem and Goloka Vrindavan. And in Goloka Vrindavan, which place is the best place? Hare Krishna. Oh! I scared her away. Yes, Radha Kunda. Exactly. Okay. I have this, and this. So, yeah. This is our ultimate point of destination. This is where we all want to get access to. The real ultimate lake of Radha Kunda. This is our point X. So this is where we want to get. This is our highest treasure. Okay? Can everybody see? This is our highest treasure. So we are on a treasure hunt. Yes? We want to find the highest treasure. And, you know, when you want to find some treasure, it definitely helps if you have a map, right? Because otherwise, you know, actually there are so many treasures lost in the world. And sometimes people find them, and sometimes they find it accidentally. And I remember my father had a book which was called The Hidden... Well, these were actually... book from a bookkeeper from a treasurer of the Ukrainian Republic of Cossacks. So there was a treasurer, they were like fighters, and so their treasures, some parts of it they kept hidden all throughout Ukraine. And it was very funny to read. It was a copy of a very old book, and you could read it. You go to the village of the broken oak, and in that village of broken oak you find the church, and from the church you go north 100 steps, and then you turn right, go 50 steps, and then you dig for 6 steps down, and there is a pot with 3,000 golden coins. And you read about this and you think, wow, where is this broken oak village? Maybe I should go and check if this pot is still there. Yeah, some years ago, we were driving from Simhachalam to Munich, and Nikhilananda Prabhu pointed to some village on the way, and he said that, Hare Krishna, and he said that some years ago, a villager who was living there, I forgot the name, if somebody remembers, something like Vasendorf, something. He was plowing his field every year, and every year he was finding some, you know, like buttons, yellow buttons. So he, you know, every year after plowing, he would find some of these buttons. So then one year he decided, let me check. So he took one of these yellow buttons, and he took it to the city. And the jeweler told him that these are no buttons. These are actually golden coins, and very old golden coins. So then he went back, and he started really digging. And then he undug something, I think, worth 2 million euros of Celtic coins, very old coins, golden coins. So sometimes it happens by good fortune. And sometimes it happens by good instruction. So we are lucky. We know where is the highest. You know, this achieving this place is beyond 2 million. It's worth more than 2 million euros, and even more than 3 million euros, and even more than 6 million euros. It's priceless. Yeah, this is priceless. You cannot put a number on it. So, but you know how to get there. So, what's the path? Because who has been to Radha Kunda here? Yeah, I think practically everybody, right? So we can, if we speak about the physical location, it's not that difficult. We can just buy a ticket and you know go to Vrindavan, and then we are Hare Krishna. And we are there. We are at the Radha Kunda, right? And maybe we even feel something, but have we actually achieved the aprakrita Radha Kunda? Have we actually achieved this, the treasure of Madhurya Prema that you mentioned? So some map how to actually get there is helpful. And this is a very interesting map. This path to reach Radha Kunda starts nowhere else but in the heart. First, to get there, we have to go inside our heart. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiha vegam, udaropastha vegam, etan vegam, yovishaheta dhira sarvam apimam pritivim sasesyat. So there are vegas. Vega means a strong current. So there are at least six strong currents flowing in the heart, which carry us away, which wash us from our real position, and there are whirlpools there, you know, they can draw us inside. So this is verse 1. That's where it starts. And this verse doesn't even speak really about bhakti much. It just speaks about surrender. Again, surrender, controlling the mind, and so to get there, first we have to go inside our heart and learn some points about how to avoid these whirlpools. And then we'll be also able to find the real guru, right? Because, how do we get a guru? We get a guru when we are a disciple, right? And how to not be mistaken, how to get the real thing, right? So that's why it's very interesting. It says who can be the guru, but also that's a hint for us how we can find the guru. Because unless I work on these, I will not be able to recognize control of the mind and words and anger, control of the senses in others. And I will, first of all, I will not understand the importance, or I will not be able to see or to recognize. So that's why it's important to work ourselves on this, and then we can recognize one. So that's the first verse, and then the second verse. By the way, it's a very merciful shastra, because these are 11 steps to the treasure instructions. It's easily memorizable. It's just 11 verses. You can, you know, there is not many shastras where you can learn just 11, memorize just 11 verses, and you have the whole shastra by heart. So you can consider yourself. Yes, it's just 11 verses. So then, okay, we have decided to dive. We have decided to look into deeper. The entry on this path is under these currents. So we have to go escape these vegas, these strong currents that they are flowing through the heart. And then we can enter onto the path. But that's not all, because later what happens? There are six poisonous, whatever you call it, bushes, you can say. six poisonous bushes, or maybe with six dacoits sitting there.
Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha lolyam cha shadbir bhaktir vinashyati,
which can rob us of bhakti, which can kill bhakti. In the news some years ago I read that some bushes are there, some people are admitted to hospitals with burns. So there are some bushes above rivers which if you touch, the skin becomes black and it's like a burn, chemical burn that you become poisoned, and you don't feel the arms, and I don't know what they do in the hospital, but they have to be admitted to the hospital. So there are six poisonous obstacles. And you all know it's overeating. By the way, I suggest that you from time to time review the whole, it's just 11 verses, just, you know, look at the these verses, at the flow, how it goes. And it's good if you learn all the Sanskrit terms, because in Sanskrit it's just four short lines with one short word for each thing. Whereas in a translation, atyahara, well, atyahara is overeating, but then over-endeavoring, and then we have prajalpa, that we just use the Sanskrit word, and then niyamagraha, it's to translate, we have to use a whole sentence, following the rules just for the sake of following, or neglecting the rules and regulations of devotional life. And then greed and materialistic association. So these are the six poisonous obstacles that we should be careful about. And then we have in verse 3, we have something like six healing herbs, you can say. Tattat karma pravartanat sangat yaga satovrite shadvir bhakti prasidyati. You can say six healing herbs, or six magical herbs, six things which can magically rejuvenate our life, which are like life-giving rasayana. Rasayana is something that can bring the dead person to life, back to life. Shashinanda Maharaj has one seminar called Bhakti Rasayana. Bhakti Rasayana. And it actually has such an influence that sometimes you may feel kind of an apathy, or sort of feeling down in your spiritual life. But when you immerse your heart into these Rasayana shlokas or Rasayana stories, it literally brings you back to life when you hear about Krishna and Krishna Lila. Okay, so we have six positive things which help. This is enthusiasm, faith, steadiness, following the process of bhakti, and avoiding materialistic association, following the path showed by the previous acharyas, by the sadhus, satovrite, or following the sadhus, satovrite, associating with sadhus. Following the lifestyle of sadhus. Now, next we have verse 4. Dadati pratigrihnati guhyama kyati pritchati bhungte bojete chaiva shadrida pritilakshanam. So these are six exchanges. And by the way, this map is still in the making, so if you have some better sense of how to depict some of these, then you are welcome to give suggestions or to redraw, especially if you have some artists. As you can see, I am not an artist. All right, so these are... I will just make like this. Six exchanges. So I'll put two. So these are devotees, and they have exchange. Okay, Okay, six.
Loving exchanges.
Six loving exchanges. So this is what makes the journey possible. This is what actually makes the journey interesting, enlivening, and exciting. This is what pushes us along the road. And then, so this is verse 4. And verse 5 describes how to see different... So because we are speaking about loving exchanges, so next verse describes how to see different, how to respect different Vaishnavas, different levels of Vaishnavas. Okay, I will depict it in the following way. So it speaks about Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama. Okay.
You get the idea, right?
Okay. So, and then, so we can distinguish, you know, how to, of course, we respect everybody, but there may be slight variations of how we exactly respect different different Vaishnavas. So this is verse 5. Krishna eti yasya giritam manasa driyeda dikshasti chat pranati vishta bhajanta misham susru saya bhajana vigyam ananyamanya nindadi sunyam ipsita sangalabhya. So this is about respect, and the next one is about verse 6 is drishtai sabhava janita rapusastra dosa na prakritattamya bhakta janasya pashe dangam basuna kalubudbuddha pena pankair brahma dravatvam apagasati nira dharmai. So this is about vision. This is how we externally respect these devotees. And verse 6 speaks about drishtai, how we see devotees. So this is more internal. So I will put again. Different devotees and how we see them. With the eye of the heart. Okay, this is the eye, this is the heart, and these are different devotees. And we see all of them with a loving vision. We do not criticize, we see actually the essence. We do not see the externals of the Vaishnavas. Just like sometimes Ganga can be dirty or Yamuna can be dirty. Like often monsoon is a lot of foam and a lot of mud in it. But still we go and take bath and we feel it works. You know, we take bath and we feel, oh, it's like lifting you to another realm. So also Vaishnavas can be different levels and can have different defects and problems, but they are all Vaishnavas and they can all give us amazing blessings. So this actually is the point of a big, how you call it, Gebirgspass. Yes. So yes, we have to. So these are like a big mountain pass to learn this thing. This is a cut-off line. So unless we learn this, we cannot go farther. And this is the point where our bhakti changes from anishtita bhakti into nishta, into steady and anartha free bhakti. It's a miraculous transformation. Of course, it doesn't happen over a second. It's a practice, so we learn. So that's why we are studying. That's why we are learning this. And then, if we do that, then we can get to verse 7, which says yat Krishna nama charitadi sitapya vidya pito patapta narasanasya
Rasanasya narochikano kintva daradanu dinam kalusaiva jushta svadvi kramad bhavatita edamulaham tri. Okay, so I will. This is my symbol. This is nectar of the holy name. So, Hari Nama and Hari Lila, and this is Nama Amrita, the nectar. So this nectar is, it's an interesting point. He didn't place it here. It's beyond this pass, mountain pass. After we cross this mountain pass of actually learning to respect all devotees in our heart, or at least not to disrespect all devotees in our heart, then we can actually come to this great reward which destroys at the root the disease which makes everything bitter. And then from from there, it becomes already a flowing, maybe I should have put it closer here, but it's not too much. I didn't leave enough space here. So from here, it turns into a spontaneously flowing river of Raganuga Bhakti. It can turn into a spontaneously flowing river of Raganuga Bhakti.
It's Shloka 8. Should I write the numbers? This is 3. Okay. This is 3. This is verse 4. This is verse 5. This is verse 6. This is verse 7. And this, where it turns into the almost like a waterfall, it is verse 8, which says, Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasini yojam tishtam vrajeta danuraga jananu gami kalam mayeda kilamityupadesha saram. So we are, from this point, we can follow some resident of Vrindavan. So that means we can embark on some specific Raganuga sadhana. So that means we already, our taste has awakened. We already have an awakened taste and attachment. And that means that we will already have a clear vision. So from Asakti, or supposing to Bhava, we will see who is our eternal guide, who attracts us the most, which specific lila and which specific relationship with Krishna. So this is the flow. To depict it, I don't know what else. If I were an artist, I would maybe make a picture of a gopi. Okay, I will do this. Okay. So this is a gopi. I'm sorry, you please somebody make a nice picture after this, okay? This is just... And then what follows is the description of classification of different places surrounding Vrindavan. Yeah, we have Mathura, Vrindavan. Like here in Switzerland, you have nice mountains. So all of these places are very beautiful and very high. Vaikuntha janito varanadu puri tatrapi rasotsava vrindaranyam udarapani ramanat tatrapi govardhana radha kundamihapi gokulapate primamrita plavanat kuryad yasya virajato giritate sevam vivekinaka. So near Govardhan, it says that Vaikuntha is higher than the material world, Vrindavan is higher than Vaikuntha. Mathura is higher than Vaikuntha. Vrindavan is higher than Mathura. And Govardhan is higher than Vrindavan. And Radhakunda is higher than everything. And which intelligent person would refuse to eternally stay there? He asks. He doesn't say, he just asks. So which intelligent, you reckon, who would? And then he describes the hierarchy of the worshippers. Karmibya parito hare priyataya yaktimya yurgyanya stebya jnana vimukta bhakti paramat premai kanishta stata tebya tapasupala pankaja drisha tabhyopi saradika preshtam tadvadayam tadiyasarasi tam nasrayet kakriti. That higher than karmis are jnanis, higher than jnanis are those who are liberated and accepting bhakti, higher are those who have prema, and higher than them are the gopis, lotus-eyed gopis, and out of them the highest is Radharani. Jai Jai Shirade, Jai Jai Shirade, Jai Jai Shirade. And Radhakunda is as high as herself. So again he says, what perfected being will not take shelter of Radhakunda? And then the last one again describes the glories of Radhakunda. And that it's as dear to Krishna as Radharani, and one who takes even one bath in Radhakunda achieves all perfection, supreme perfection. So this is the path, this is the map. So we have a very detailed map describing where is where is what are the dangers, what are the blessings, what is the proper conduct to be able to move, how the relationship should be there, what are the attitudes, and what nectar is available to give us transcendental life. And then how it turns into a spontaneous flow. So this is the map, and now we have studied the whole nectar instructions, and I don't know what to do.
Exam now?
Yes.
Any questions on this?
So we are very lucky to have a very merciful map given by Shri Rupa Goswami for us. Very mercifully he has described the whole path step by step with all the intricacies and details. And it's an exciting journey for us, which starts in our heart. And Srila Prabhupada has translated this rather early in our movement, when he was asked how many copies should they print, he said that print for the street distribution, to distribute it on the street. It's quite interesting. And when they asked some advertisement consultant about what is a good book for book street distribution, amazingly enough, he said that this is a very good book for street distribution because it gives a very practical guide, step by step, of achieving success in the process, in your process. It gives some detailed ideas about the process. So the karmis said so, which is quite amazing. So if they think it's good, I guess it must be good. All of us. You have something? All right, so now you have the preface, all of you. It's Prabhupada's preface, so maybe you can we can read it. Would you like to read loudly?
The Krishna consciousness.
consciousness movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. Maurya Vaishnavas or Bengali Vaishnavas are mostly followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of whom the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are direct disciples. Therefore, Srila Narottama Das Thakur has sung Rupa Raghunatha Pade Haibe Akuti Akuti Kabe Hamash Bujaba Se Yugala Piriti. When I'm eager to understand the literature given by the Goswamis, then I shall be able to understand the transcendental loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in order to bestow upon human society the benediction of the science of Krishna. The most exalted of all the activities of Lord Krishna are his pastimes of conjugal love with gopis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the mode of Srimati Radharani, the best of the gopis. Therefore, to understand the mission of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and follow in his footsteps, one must very seriously follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sanata, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva, Gopal Bhatta, and Dasa Raghunath. Sri Rupa Goswami was the leader of all the Goswamis, and to guide our activities, he gave us the Upadeshamrita, the nectar of instruction to follow. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left behind him the eight verses known as Shikshashtaka, Rupa Goswami gave us Upadeshamrit so that we may become pure Vaishnavas. In all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to control his mind and senses. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. Everyone within this material world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, Sattva-gun, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, and then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. A follower of the Krishna conscious movement should become a perfect Goswami. Vaishnavas are generally known as Goswamis. In Vrindavan, this is the title by which the director of each temple is known. One who wants to become a perfect devotee of Krishna must become a Goswami. Go means the senses, and Swami means the master. Unless one controls his senses and mind, one cannot become a Goswami. To achieve the highest success in life by becoming a Goswami and then a pure devotee of the Lord, one must follow the instructions known as Upadeshamrit, which have been given by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami has given many other books, such as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidakta Madhava, and Lalita Madhava, but Upadeshamrit constitutes the first instructions for neophyte devotees. One should follow these instructions very strictly, then it will be easier to make one's life successful.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Bhaktivedanta Swami. Shri Prabhupada ki. Thank you. Alright, so there are several very important points in this short preface. It's quite short, so we could take the luxury of reading the whole preface. It's beautiful. It shows Prabhupada's mood and mission. So, what are the main points here? Can you please... when can we understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna? Christian, bro? Yeah, when can we understand? When you're saying when we are eager. Okay, and when we'll be eager? Do you have the printout or the preface? Yes, when we follow the instructions. When we study, right, eagerly, akuti, when we eagerly study the books by the six Goswamis. Right? It's quite interesting. It's quite different from what Gaudiya Vaishnavism has become later, when they were thinking that we just need to emotionally sing and not care about rules and... even more, there's no need to care about the Shastra, you know, Bhagavad Gita, then it's altogether not needed, you know, it's for complete materialists. So here he says, no, you study in the books of the six Gosamis. Jiva Gosami quotes Bhagavad Gita a lot. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, our supreme Rasika Acharya, he writes a beautiful commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. He doesn't neglect Bhagavad Gita. So we by understanding the books of the six Gosamis, we can actually understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. So Prabhupada then says that to understand the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and follow in his footsteps, one must very seriously follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. Shirup Sanatan Bhatta Raghunatha Shijiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunatha. It's actually this order and spelling is from a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which says Shirup Sanatan Bhatta Raghunatha Shijiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunatha Echai Gosai Echai Gurur Karan Charana Vandan Jahoi Te Vignanash Avishta Puran. So if we offer our obeisances to these six gurus, this will remove all obstacles and will fulfill all desires. Do you have any obstacles? Do you have any unfulfilled desires in spiritual life? So you get the hint. Krishnaska Raj Gosami is giving. So then Rupa Gosami is giving us the Upadeshamrita so that we may become pure Vaishnavas. What else? Do you find something else interesting in this purport? What's the first duty? Yes, control the mind and the senses. So it's the first duty. So it starts with Vachovega Manasakra Davega. And therefore, Prabhupada in this guide to the supreme Rasika place, he speaks about elevating ourselves to what? To the level of Gosamis and Satvagun, yes. To the level of Satvagun. Then it's actually quite interesting. He says that when one must promote himself to the platform of goodness, Satvagun, and then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. So you don't have to tax your brain. As soon as you come to Satvagun, then everything related to what's the next step. Do you ever wonder, what should I do now? Should I do this or should I do that? Or should I first do this or should I first do that? Do you ever have some dilemmas? So Prabhupada is, yes or no? Or is it only me? So Srila Prabhupada is saying here that once we are, by mind control and sense control, once we are elevated to the platform of sattva, it's okay. Then everything about how to make the further progress is going to be revealed to us. Wouldn't it be nice to have things revealed to us? In other words, it becomes crystal clear. You see. You start seeing. Satvagun means you have a clear vision of the path and of the next step. And then, on what does advancement in Krishna consciousness depend? Okay, but on what progress in advancement in devotion depends? Attitude. Yes. On one's attitude. So it depends on one's attitude. Maybe we should read it in both languages. Yes. Haltung. Okay. Fortschritt hängt von der Haltung. English Prabhupada is saying advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. And the attitude is that we should become a perfect Goswami. Vaishnavas are generally known as Gosamis. So you are all Gosamis. And especially, you should probably say Krishna Prema Rupa Gosami. Because he's the director of the temple. Yes? Nobody's saying. You can say here, it's in the book. So, it's bona fide. Actually, I think you can see in Prabhupada's early Back to Godhead, he writes Gosami Abhay Charanaravinda. You may have seen it. I think, and as far as I can see the dates, it's before he took sannyas. Before he got sannyas. So, bona fide. On your card, that you're giving to you, we can write Gosami Madhupriya. Gosami Udhav. Or Gosamini Rangini. Gosamini Rangini. Tulsi Toshika Gosami. Nobody's saying that Vaishnavas are generally known as Goswamis. But generally, I'm a general Vaishnava, so. Yeah, so of course Goswami has a meaning. Goswami. So senses and Swami, the master. Goswami. Master of the senses. So now I would like to ask you to maybe divide into two or three groups. Let's see. If we can either have three groups of three to four people, or we can have. Yeah, I think three groups is good. So we can have ladies, and then where do we do the divide? Okay, here we can divide on this. You can go to this side, and you can go to this side. And maybe you can discuss the point about attitude. Can you give some examples where we see that attitude is more important than the act itself or the external situation itself? So some examples how attitude is more important than these are whiteboard. Okay. So first thing, we find some examples of how attitude is more important than an act or a situation itself. That's the first thing. Then second, which we would like to discuss, is what should be our attitude? Right. And the third thing is how to develop it. So we can take 10, 12 minutes, and then come up with some examples, with some points. Mm. How this attitude should, what is the expression of this attitude, and then how to develop. Is clear? Okay. Than 100. Ever wonder about these people who say they are giving more than 100? So we have all been in a situation where someone wants you to give over 100. How about achieving 101%? What equals 100% in life? So here is a little mathematical formula. So if we assign each letter a numerical value, then you know, A being 1, B being 2, then hard work, if you convert it to the numbers, it becomes 98. So it's like hard work, 98%. Usually that's also the answer of all these geniuses. What is a genius? Genius is 1% talent and 99% hard work, they say, or 92% hard work. Yeah? I think Einstein said that as far as I know. And then knowledge, if you convert each letter, it's 96%. Okay, so, and, but if you calculate attitude, then it comes to exactly 100%. So, aren't you impressed? And then look further. Now look how far the love of God will take you. So if you calculate love of God, it comes to 101%. So here is our very strict mathematical explanation of how love of God and attitude is important. So hard work and knowledge are important, but attitude will get you there, and the love of God will put you over the top. So Krishna Bhakti Ki Jai. Thank you. So let's hear. What are your... So we had three groups, and we were discussing three points. What are some examples of how attitude is more important than the act itself or a situation, and then what should be our attitude and how to develop it. So, could you present one person from you? Could you please tell what are your ideas? Yeah, so you decide who from the Matajis. Okay, Mother just wanted Prabhusta. Okay, we will grant their wish. So, okay, maybe Prabhus here. Who will present? Okay. Govinda. So he was ready to commit an offense for the service. Okay, so the situation was offensive, but the attitude was deeply steeped in service mood, right? So therefore, Mahaprabhu was very happy about Govinda. Okay, this is a good example.
Mm-hmm. You were listening to our conversation.
Yeah, these are you. Yeah, we can count. Okay, we can count the points. These are also your examples. Good. Ant. Okay. Yeah. Ant or squirrel. Different versions.
Then of course the Dhammadarashtakam.
Dhammadarashtakam. Which place from the Dhammadarashtakam? Okay, so this is... Yeah. So this sounds like not a very pleasant thing. You know, they are catching you and binding you. So it doesn't look like much of a service, but because Mother Yashoda was doing this out of love. Okay, so she stopped Krishna's drinking her milk
with the attitude of actually pleasing Krishna, it's actually quite interesting. Do you know this comment by Sri Jiva Goswami? Why did she put Krishna aside and went to save the milk? Do you know this comment? Why was it? Why do you think, did she think that saving the milk will be more important than directly feeding milk to Krishna?
No,
I... Uh-oh. Careful.
Maybe also to please the devotees and the cows?
The
or respect
cows, okay, respect the cows who gave the milk. It's very close, yes. So you... Yeah, because your name is Uddhava, so Krishna taught Uddhava in the 11th canto that nothing pleases Krishna so much as, he says, mad bhakta puja bhyadika. He says that serving and worshipping my devotees is higher than doing puja to me, Krishna directly said. And also when there was this question, what is the fastest process or method? He says, serve my devotees, or serve the sadhus. So, yeah, you're moving in the right direction. So, the thing is that in the spiritual world, the milk is also a devotee. And therefore, this milk was in the pot, you know, preparing for Krishna, and then it saw that Krishna is drinking Mother Yashoda's milk. You know, he saw that, wow, now Krishna will drink all her milk and he will not drink me. So then he thought, well, my life is useless, so let me commit suicide and jump into the fire. So the milk started going out of the pot. And then Mother Yashoda saw this, and to save the Vaishnava and to let the Vaishnava, you know, serve Krishna, she put Krishna aside and ran to save that milk so that the milk could serve Krishna and not commit suicide. So that was her mood. So in the mood of the service of the Vaishnavas. Yeah. Okay, it's a good example of the attitude. Okay, good. Some other examples? You have some more other than these mentioned? With Ramachandra and Ant and Govinda. You have one more? Let's give them a chance. Maybe they again have the same. And Alex? Yes. I have an experience with that. I remember I was with my devotee manager. I was translating and he was managing me. And I was at one point very angry at him. And he told me to go cook something. And I cooked it in a very angry mood. And came out something came out. And I liked the food, but when he ate it, he started complaining that he had pain in the stomach and pain in the head, pain everywhere. And I thought, oh. So my mood ran into that. So yes, it actually can influence. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the other hand, when Jagadananda Panit was angry, he called him to cook, and he said, "A food cooked by an angry a cook tastes the best." I don't know, because probably when Jagadananda Panit is angry, then his anger is not an anger, it's an ecstasy. So, or I don't know. Or maybe there is a saying like this in India. I don't know. Okay, and another?
And the other example is when the ocean took the eggs of this little bird.
Mm-hmm. Very good, very good. Determination.
The whole ocean.
Mm-hmm. Complete determination. And Schlossenheit? Yeah, and very good, because this is one of the attitudes that we have coming right here in verse 3. Yes? Utsahan nishayan dhairyat. So one of these six very beneficial things that help to achieve success on the path. Utsahan nishchaya, so nishchaya, being very determined. So that's an attitude. So not taking no for an answer in our practice of devotional service. Not meaning no from Krishna, but from the material nature. Okay, so these are some other examples. Some more examples? You had something? Yes?
There was, I don't know if you remember, but the he was so confused. Something happened to him, but he gave not the bananas. But
yeah, Vidura. Vidura, yes. He gave the banana skins to Krishna, and Krishna ate it. Very good, yeah. Whereas, so he came to Duryodhana, and Duryodhana was told that Krishna is a gourmand. He likes to eat tasty food, and his devotees are always bribing him by sweets and all these things. So then Duryodhana engaged the best cooks in the kingdom, and then he was waiting to know, he wanted to influence Krishna. Krishna came, and then he didn't even go to Duryodhana's palace that he gave to him. And Duryodhana was angry. He was saying, why don't you want to go take my feast? And Krishna said, look, Duryodhana, there can be only two reasons why a person would want to eat. One reason would be that he is hungry, and another reason is that he wants to accept the love. Right, so as far as I'm concerned, I'm never hungry, and we know that there was no love much in that offering of yours. So why should I go eat your feast? So he went to Vidura, and Vidura was so bewildered that he was in complete love. He was peeling the bananas and offering, you know, the wrong thing to Krishna, but he was doing this with such a love that Krishna was accepting me and eating it. These skins. Yeah, so attitude in this situation was more important than the okay, very good. And ladies, you have some examples?
Yeah, I remember about this. Ramana was reading like the Bhagavad Gita upside
down. Yes, reading the Bhagavad Gita upside down, right. Yeah. So he was crying. He was looking at the picture of Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna, and he was crying. That seems what Krishna likes to tell about himself. That's how Krishna usually presents himself. In the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, in the Bhagavad Gita. Do you have some Bhagavad Gita with the? Is that open? That shelf? Yeah. Is there with the cover or this picture? Because there's no picture. Okay, this is the same. Anyway, so it's quite interesting. Krishna is always introducing himself as the driver of his devotees. It's almost like what he... Yeah, oh, good, thank you. Yeah, this one. So you have some Gitas with this on cover. So it's almost like what he... You know, like when you are printing your card... Then business card, then usually you put that, you know, PhD, MA, BSc, and this, and the president, and the director, and the, you know, this and that. So what Krishna likes to put on his business card, driver of my devotees, driver of Vaishnavas. That's Krishna's most dear title that he likes for himself. It's quite amazing. Why did I start speaking about this? Oh, the Brahmana. Yes, so the Brahmana was looking at this picture and he was crying. He was thinking about. So even though he couldn't read the Sanskrit, he was looking at this picture and he was crying. So this is this was the idea, what we could do for the Bhakti Shastri exam. We could give everybody this picture and then measure how many tears they cry by looking at this. Yeah, okay. Some other examples? Alex? Sudama.
Yeah, he gets only flat rice.
Yes.
He came and he was so ashamed to give it, but Krishna knew it, and he thought, how long will you hide this present? No need to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was awesome.
Very good. Yeah. So Sudama Vipra. Even a very humble offering was accepted by Krishna as very, very valuable. Some other examples?
In the Ramayana, like this old lady, she was tasting the berries.
Yes, yes, yes. She was biting, and so all the berries were bitten. It is not the usual way to offer something to Krishna. And some examples from material life. Love of the mother. You can just imagine that the husband knows that, okay, this is the day of our, I don't know, it's her birthday or it's the anniversary, so he decides, okay, I need to I need to buy some flowers for my wife. So then he buys the flowers, and then he comes and he just says, here, some flowers for you. So, you know, the act was there. Okay, he brought the flowers, he bought the flower, he paid the money, right? And but if there is no attitude. Which reminds me of this joke, how some guy had to select a gift for a birthday. So he went to the souvenir shop, and then he found different vases. And then he found a very beautiful vase, quite expensive. And then he saw that they have a broken vase, that somebody dropped the vase, and they were just about to clean. And then he said, how much would you charge for this broken vase? And then they said, well, you can just for the packing, you can charge you a few euros. And then he said, okay, so then can you please pack it and send it to this address? And he thought, okay, he'll think that it's broken in transit. So then he receives the the letter from the friend saying that, thank you for sending me this beautiful vase, and even though it was broken. And thank you especially for so thoughtfully wrapping each piece separately in the gift paper. Separately wrapping into gift paper each piece. So his bluff was revealed. Yeah, okay. So the attitude is certainly more important oftentimes than the act. Now, what should be our attitude? So what are your ideas in your discussions? What should be a devotee's attitude? Christian? Okay, Goswami. So, controlling one's mind and senses. All right. So, not being the slave of the mind of the senses, but using the mind and senses for Krishna. All right. Okay, Goswami. What else is a devotee's attitude?
Not duplicit.
Not
simple.
Okay, simple, not duplicitous. Yes. Alex, you have something?
Selfless.
Selfless. Okay. Selfless. I just read a joke today about being selfless. It's a definition of an egoist. So egoist is someone who thinks about himself more than about all the other egoists. This is an egoist, a selfish person. And there was a postman Dadu in Vrindavan. You remember? You saw him? Postman Dadu, delivering Dhiran Singh. He published this funny book, a blue little thin book with stories for the, and he used it, proceeds from that for the widows. The postman, for the last 15, he passed a couple of years ago.
Is that
no, that's Vibhu Chaitanya, that's another one. Anyway, he was a very lovely person, very special person. He came to Vrindavan long ago to achieve Krishna, and he was definitely he was on every class of the Bhagavatam. No matter who gave, he would come and he would listen. He loved to listen Krishna Katha, even though he was already very old, and he would always be very careful about the flowers. He would collect flowers so that people don't step over them. So he was. He liked some jokes, so he was saying that I am the worst kind of fish. I am selfish. So he was saying that I am a very bad fish. I am selfish. Postman Dan. Yeah, so selfless, in other words. Non-duplicitous, selfless. These are some of the attitudes. What are the attitudes? Or
honest.
Honest. Okay. Grateful. Oh, very good. Yeah.
Humble.
Okay. Humble. And yes. And as we do something, how do we do it? What will be our thoughts?
Enthusiastically.
Enthusiastically. Okay. So this is one more point that Rupa Goswami puts. These he gives three attitudes and three. Activities there. Yeah, so three attitudes. Utsahan, Nishayan, you mentioned also being determined. Utsahan, enthusiasm, and Dharya, being steady, being fixed in one's activities. Yeah. Okay, and so is there any sentence or a phrase we can tell to ourselves or to Krishna before doing something to create a proper attitude? That would express a proper attitude? Can you please? Please allow me to do this service? If it's your desire. Okay. And, well, he has already allowed. Like, you know, you already have it on the schedule, on the roster, temple roster to do it. Alex?
Nothing of this is mine, this is all yours.
Okay, it is all yours. All right. Okay. So, this is the difference. So in karma yoga, you first get the result, then you offer. In karma mishra bhakti, you offer before you start doing something. This is what Krishna recommends. And in pure bhakti, you offer before, as you're saying, it's not mine and the results are not mine, during doing it, every second, as you do this, you think, oh, Krishna, this is for you, this is for you, this is yours. And after. So, at all times, all the time. Yeah? So that's the loving attitude of bhakti. Yeah? Okay, good. It's not mine. What else? Yeah. Krishna Prabhupada, what was your idea?
For your pleasure.
So how would you phrase it? So, like, I have to start cooking for Krishna, or I have to, I don't know, do something. Clean, give a class, or distribute books, or something. Write letters.
Perform these activities for your pleasure.
Okay, so let me do this for your pleasure. So let me do this for your pleasure. This is, in fact, the biggest secret. It sounds very simple, but this is the biggest secret, and that's the core of bhakti. This is the heart of bhakti. This attitude. All right. Something else? Another paper? Okay, please give me the intelligence and strength. So that reflects which attitude? How you call it in one? How this called?
Huh? Blessing, asking for blessing.
Asking for blessing, but you already named this attitude when we say, please give me the intelligence and strength. So when we say this, we are actually revealing the attitude of, when we think like this, I need your blessings. That is the attitude of the quality of humility. Yeah? Because I'm not thinking that, yes, by my own strength, by my superior intelligence, Krishna, I will totally please you. Just look, just watch me, how I'm doing this for you. even though we may be well prepared, like I notice sometimes there is some topic or some class that I spoke already many times, and sometimes I think, okay, I know this. I know all the points. I remember. Sometimes I don't. You know, I even look at it and I think, yeah, it should work. I know the jokes for these points, and I know this. It should last. You know, 10 times it was a roaring success, and then I'm coming and I'm trying to present, and it's a total, you know, complete flat confusion. And then I think, why is that? You know, the same points, same things. I said everything. I even said the jokes, and it didn't work. Why? So why? Because there was no humility. It was not offered. It was, you know, based on some false confidence and pride. And I was thinking that, yeah, I know. Yeah. Whereas Krishna is showing that it's not by... It's mercy of Krishna. You know? Krishna is... It shows that Krishna cares for me. Right? That he's pointing out, Adi, it's not by your intelligence. Even though you think you are so intelligent, I will show that you are a fool. and then you will have to surrender as you are doing something. You have such similar experiences?
Kitchen.
Huh? Kitchen. Oh.
Yeah, this recipe I can this salad sauce is always become... I it's no problem, it's always coming. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a good point that, you know, we approach and always humbly say, Krishna, by your mercy. Only by your mercy. And you see Mangalacharana, before any acharya starts writing some book, they ask for blessings. And before and often after, Sri Krishna Chakravarti Thakur, like after his incredible commentaries, he's so brilliant. Then at the end he writes that, oh dear Vaishnavas, this dog here has said something brought you something that he found from the previous acharyas, but it's only by your mercy that you can make whatever I wrote into something acceptable and turn my defects into some good qualities. So he's saying only by your mercy it can be worth something, even though he's so brilliant. You can see that he's... And he starts several chapters of his commentaries. Like the 87th chapter, amazing chapter. He's such a powerful commentary of the 10th canto, prayers of the personified Vedas. He starts by saying, Mama ratnavanik bhavam ratnanya parichinvataha santo santo jihremi na svasanta vinodakrit. Personified Vedas. Vishi Vishwanath. Vishwanath Chakravarti. So he says that even though I am ignorant in jewels, I am assuming now the role of the jewel merchant. But I will not be ashamed, because at least, even if I commit mistakes, I will make my own dear people laugh. So at least they will laugh, you know. So I will not be ashamed. I will just, you know, try to present my jewels, that even though I'm ignorant in all the jewels. So that's how he begins. is and there is such a beautiful verse. We can conclude with this verse, or we can start next tomorrow with this verse. Well, you'll have some incentive to,
because we haven't covered the last point, how to develop the proper attitude. So we covered
determination, humility, honesty, humility as expressed, Krishna, only if you give me the intelligence and strength will I be able to do it. And then the real secret that please be pleased, I'm doing this for your pleasure, which is so easy to say and priceless to actually feel. This is so secret that we are hearing this for 20 years and it still may remain a secret oftentimes. So how to develop these attitudes?
Most it helps when one hears about other Vaishnavas, how they act. Mm-hmm.
So you see the example. Right.
Yeah. You see this attitude because they are real.
Yeah.
They don't just say it because they right now.
Yes.
But they feel it also in their own lives like this. I mean, even if sometimes they are described from other sides, then they are showed like that. You can see that they are. Really
they live humble. They live it. Yeah.
It is really someone who is humble. It's not just making a show.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. So seeing the examples of great Vaishnavas. What else? Hearing about these things. Do people? Mm-hmm. Yes, so we have the guidelines in the third and the fourth verse. Tatat karma pravat. Seeing at the Vaishnavas, respecting the Vaishnavas. Okay, so honor them in the mind. And interact with the Vaishnavas, serving the Vaishnavas and just having loving relationships with the Vaishnavas, that really changes the heart. Yeah. It's very good. Something else? How we can develop these attitudes? Madhajis? Something from your side? How to develop the proper attitude that we want? Alex? Okay, so find someone who doesn't have...
Like a forebear.
Right. An example, yeah, very good. Okay, so when we are dealing with a certain thing, so it's similar to your point. When we are dealing with a certain weakness, then we find someone who has the corresponding strength. Okay, very good. Okay, and the last point, Alex?
Don't take the service that you get for granted.
All right, so don't take the service that we have for granted. Yeah, don't think that we are... giving service, right? We should understand that we are given service. That's a fact. Unless service is a descending thing, right? It must come, an order must come, an instruction must come. Then we can serve. You cannot just come and serve. There must be an order. So it's mercy. Mercy in the instruction. You have the same, yeah? Mercy is there in the instruction. That's. And you get the instruction, that's in mercy. So I want to ask you to please practice today and tomorrow at least these two things. So as you mentioned, find a person, so find some attitude that you think you need first of all, that you think is very important for you to work upon. Or to improve or increase. Okay? And then find some example, or rather two examples. One example in our Vaishnava history and literature, and another example in the yatra. Doesn't have to in the community. It doesn't have to be the person who has the perfect manifestation of this quality, but he manifests this quality at least to some extent. So we can see, okay, he has, we find someone who has this quality at least to some extent. Is it clear? So two examples. So that's one thing by the example. And the other thing is practice starting any activity in devotional service, or if you have already started, then maybe sometime during the activity, by at least saying these words to yourself, that Krishna only, this service only by Krishna's grace, and I myself cannot do this without Krishna giving me the intelligence and the strength. And the most important, which we should not only say but try to actually find the feeling, is Krishna, may you be pleased. I'm doing this for your satisfaction. And actually try to find this wish or this desire in your heart. Yeah, to please. This is a very good exercise for chanting. If you try to chant for Krishna's pleasure, to find this desire in your heart to please Krishna as we chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So please say it to yourself. Krishna, may you be pleased. And chant again with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And one more time. Try to really think, Krishna, may you be happy by my saying these names of yours and Radharani. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. My humble obeisances.